Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hi, Reese.
Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful. So I need to talk to you because
I'm eating a candy bar. I always make sure to have my mouth full of food before before we start.
You can have meals outside of podcast records. That'd be a good diet, the podcast diet. You can only eat while recording a podcast.
Mm.
So it increases your output of award-winning content whilst also helping you lose weight.
We had one of our listeners say that she really liked me doing ASMR just because it annoyed you, which made me smile.
Well, we've got bigger fish to fry because it is November. Next month is December. And what happens in December?
Well, fuck yeah.
That's correct.
And I'm very excited about this.
I asked Jesse to record a trailer voice.
Oh, God. I don't know what he's done with this.
So should we just play it? If any of our listeners have never, if you're new to the show and you don't know what Fuck Hack is, it's basically the Winter Festival of Unaligned Celebration Advent Calendar. It's a fake version of Christmas that we made up.
And it's our own holiday. It's our own special December-ish winter holiday to compete with the likes of Christmas and Hanukkah and various pagan festivals.
I mean, if you're religious, I respect that, but our celebration is, yours is shit compared to ours.
Exactly. So last year we did a mini podcast. It was supposed to be like a 3-minute podcast every day from December 1st to the December 21st, 25th. But it turned out to be like, each one turned out to be like 15 minutes long.
Yeah. So you got 25 episodes, one after the other, all the way up to the 25th.
However, this year is a little different, right?
Well, yeah.
Because we're for the first time ever, we are introducing a Patreon and a subscription service through Apple. Now, that we'll still be releasing some free episodes of a podcast of WFAKAK for everyone to enjoy. But it's so much goddamn work,
yes.
Especially for Reese,
yes.
That Reese is like, I would like a little bit
of
money.
Dear listeners,
you selfish son of a bitch.
You've had nearly 150 episodes scot-free. Yes, you have to listen to some terrible adverts sometimes, but largely speaking, and good adverts, I'm not going to say which ones are good because they didn't pay us enough.
Right.
But also, so what it means is that I think every 3 days you will get a WFAQAQ episode for free, but behind the paywall will be all of the unleashed WFAQAQ. You will still have the episodes of, you will still get the weekly episode.
Yeah.
You'll still get episodes.
I'm excited. I'm excited to try Patreon to see if we can, because if people want to pay us to create more content for them, that's just a really neat.
If the Patreon takes off, then we'll do loads of episodes.
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking we'll have a monthly live show.
Yes.
You know, and then past WFAQAQ we'll continue with bonus episodes, and some ringtones, and I'll get online and I'll strip.
Yeah,
for anyone who Jesse's, pays well.
Jesse wants to double it up with his own kind of version of OnlyFans. Yeah. So.
Only Jesse.
Only Jesse. I'm married. I'm not going to do stuff on the internet. That's a single person's game.
So if you're not into Patreon, if you don't know what a Patreon is, by the way, it's a way to support your favorite content creators by paying a small monthly fee for a lot of bonus content. That's what Patreon is, and you can just go to patreon.com, and that's where we'll post the links. What Patreon is. And if you don't want to do that, you can just subscribe through Apple's got a new subscription where you pay through Apple. It's the same thing, just a different way of paying it. That's basically what it is. We're not going away. You're still getting your free stuff. This is just a way to get bonus stuff. That's all.
It's 25 episodes that we usually do 4 a month, so that's an additional 21 episodes for December. When you're with the family, you can just zone out over the holidays when you're catching up with them and listen to our nonsense instead. But
if you got your headphones on and your significant other is screaming at you to come and decorate the tree, you can just be shut the hell up, I'm listening to WFAQAQ and I paid for it.
Exactly.
And you're in the clear. You can lock yourself in the bathroom and
I paid for this, so piss off.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'm about to play. We've got a trailer. So if we haven't sold WFAQAQ enough for you. So Jesse, in 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
This can't be real. There's no such thing as Fish Puncher Dave. There's no such thing as Fish Puncher Dave.
I don't even believe in WFAQAQ. I don't celebrate it. He's coming.
And finish your oatmeal. WFAQAQ is coming. Face punching Dave wears Crocs because they're comfortable.
There we go.
That's what you picked. I gave you 5 minutes of WFAQAQ stuff, and you use the oatmeal and Crocs.
What do you think? What do you think? If that doesn't entice you to join us on WFAQAQ, I don't know what will.
That was brilliant. That was amazing. I kind of want to do a little mini drama about face punching Dave now.
Oh, he's the ultimate
face puncher.
Also, for some reason, he's about the size of a T-Rex according to that. So.
That was very, very funny, Reese. Well made. Well done.
Thank you.
It didn't make any sense. Just at the end, within he wears Crocs because the camera.
It doesn't have to make sense. It's just got to be entertaining. if you want sense, then go to the library.
So face punching Dave, for all those of you who are new, is So every day of Wafakak is a new theme. The night of noise, the night of silence, the night of face-punching Dave. And face-punching Dave is a man named Dave who comes to your house and punches you in the face.
He's the Wafakak Santa equivalent.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't give you presents, he gives you black eyes.
Yeah. You and your entire family.
You and the entire family, everyone. Whether you're, old or young, that he doesn't care, he'll punch you.
Can we put some Wafakak is coming from me at the beginning or end of this episode?
Yes.
Just as like an echo, like add a nice reverb effect.
Exactly. But, yeah.
Okay, cool. That'd be wicked.
So, so that was it. I recorded that last night on my phone.
It sounded great.
Just running down my street with my dog. And I hope no neighbors saw me crying, screaming about face punching Dave. But it's a suburban crime there for you.
I'm very much looking forward to Wafakak this year, Reese. And I'm looking forward to. Face punching Dave.
I'm looking forward to that bruise.
Yeah. So shiner, I get to show off. All right, what do you got for me today?
Have you ever heard of a little town called Asbestos in Quebec?
Asbestos. A town called Asbestos.
In Quebec.
Asbestos?
Yes.
What? Where the fuck do you find this shit?
Well, it's...
There's a town in Quebec called Asbestos.
There is, yeah. Well, there isn't.
What?
There isn't anymore. I'm kind of lying. It changed his name to Val de Sources, or the Valley.
Say it again.
Val de Sources.
I don't know. That sounds like probably a
which
French
is
thing.
Valley of the Springs, but it was formerly known as Asbestos.
That's insane. Is that? Are you sure that's how it was pronounced? You could be mispronouncing it.
I don't know how else to spell asbestos. Asbestos. Asbestos.
Asbestos. There's a town called Asbestos. That's
Asbestos.
Incredible. All right. So yeah, tell me more.
I understand why they rebranded the town. It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, why did you, your town used to be called Bleach. Why did you change the name? Well.
Same reason we changed Finger up the nose.
Exactly. Exactly. Hello and welcome to Genocide Ontario. You know, it's asbestos.
We hope your stay is long.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's welcome. So the asbestos is famous for its asbestos.
It's right, yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yep.
Let me work out what it is. I'm just trying to bring a map up.
Reese is doing research in the middle of our podcast.
No. I lost my note. It used to have the world's largest asbestos mine. That's where the name comes from.
Hold on, what?
It had the world's largest.
Okay, to be fair, I always thought asbestos was synthesized. I didn't know you mined it.
Well,
because it's fluffy and pink as far as I know. Maybe it's not pink. I guess I've never seen
asbestos.
You're
thinking of insulation.
I'm thinking of insulation. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. What? I have never seen asbestos. Never.
So,
that's probably a really good thing.
Yeah, because
I've never seen asbestos in person. That's probably.
Because asbestos dust is deadly.
Really deadly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So,
well, slowly deadly. So,
that was the main employer in the town for a long time before it closed.
Hold on, so, what does it look like? I have no idea what asbestos looks like.
I don't know, because it's kind of mixed in with lots of different things. Hang on.
Okay. But you mine it? Wow.
You mine asbestos.
Oh, that's really neat.
I should have researched it. But yeah, imagine it wasn't a great career in the long term.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
But anyway, we're going to talk about the a town with
You kill your lungs being an asbestos miner, but don't worry. At least you're helping to kill other people's lungs too.
Exactly. In 30 years' time, you're really going to get to see a lot of people die because of your work. So, to be fair, most mines that you work in are bad for your lungs.
Yes.
My grandfather worked in a coal mine.
Mine did too.
Wrecked his lungs.
Yep, Cape Breton. Yeah. He worked in a coal mine as well. My grandfather.
Ah, look at that. We've got a lot in common.
Right.
Come from coal mining families.
Was yours a coal miner as well?
Yeah, for 54 years.
Wow.
It's a long career.
That's very long.
Coal mining. Did you ever coal mine?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Me neither. It's just let it ask. So, as you can imagine, asbestos mine in a town called Asbestos is actually quite famous for the 1949 asbestos strike.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Never heard of this.
So, as is the case. I still love the fact that now and then, now and then we get a review from someone who thinks I'm an absolute, complete and total moron who's just learned basic English because you've learned this stuff 10 minutes before you tell it to me, and you come across as this worldly expert who just was born with all this knowledge.
Anyone can access Wikipedia.
My mother, God love her. Hi, Mom, by the way. She desperately wants our roles to be reversed one day, just like now and then we're like, I'll do 10 minutes of research and teach you something I don't continuously come across as a complete idiot.
You drop some interesting information in some of our episodes. You don't like history and politics.
I really
and
don't.
You talk about history and politics. if anybody wants to know anything about keto, then Jesse's your guy.
I'm your guy.
Jesse's your guy. Studied keto for a long time. Anyway, so on February the 14th at midnight, the miners of asbestos walked out on their shops.
You're
shops.
Pronouncing it really funny.
Asbestos.
I think it's just asbestos.
Asbestos. It's not even French and I can't say it.
They walked out of the mine at midnight.
Although, yeah, they walked out. So the mines were owned by American or English-Canadian companies, and most of the people who worked there were Francophones. So there was slight disconnect between, much like the head of Air Canada boasted that he's lived in Montreal and doesn't speak French and run a major company for like 15 years.
That's really funny.
There's this old-fashioned dynamic, I think, within Quebec where, non-French speakers would be the elite business owners, and the blue collar middle class were Francophones. So there was a disconnect there.
I did not know that. I knew that there's a very large.
I'm not saying it's not the rule. It's just that was the generalization.
There's like a secret, it's really not so secret, but like ironically unspoken language war going on in Quebec, and has been for a very, very long time because they're afraid of losing their culture, and rightfully so. But that's a totally different topic for a whole nother episode. But please continue.
Yeah. So, what happened? What happened was the union had several demands. Number one was the removal of asbestos dust inside and outside the mill.
Hold on, what?
So,
Shit! They didn't even clean up. Oh, wow.
They wanted to get rid. They were like, "Hey,
what year was this?
This was 1949.
1949. Did they know back then that the dust was dangerous?
I don't think they knew it was as dangerous as it was, but
they knew it was somewhat dangerous.
I think they were probably experiencing effects from the dust. I would imagine.
Right. Okay. So they wanted that cleaned up.
I think
that's more than reasonable.
A 15-cent an hour general wage increase, which doesn't sound a lot, but 1949 money, it would have been like $1 million. I don't know. I'm joking.
Millions and billions.
It would have been a slight increase in wages, I imagine. 5-cent an hour increase for night work because you're doing night shifts. That's not nice. And a social security fund.
What is that?
And also, basically, if you get unemployed, it's just like a bit of a safety net. If you kind of get maimed or injured in the mine, you can't work anymore.
Oh, so which is what? They didn't have that?
Which is, it's 1949.
Right, yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
And also double time payment for working on Sundays and holidays. And these were considered radical at the time and were rejected immediately by the owners.
Of course.
So they voted to strike. And they will
sounds like a union starting.
They're being represented by the National Federation of Mining Industry Employees and the Canadian Catholic Federation of Labor, which I didn't know was a thing, but it is.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was a Catholic slant on labor.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
It doesn't. Yeah.
Jesus anyway. Likes it when you work.
Whatever. Yeah, he does. Oh, right. That's idle hands are the devil's plaything.
Yep. That's so, sure.
And that doesn't just mean having a wank.
Thank you, Chris. <No problem.
laughs> Anyway, I love history. a person.
That's what I hate. Just picturing like priests clarifying this to their clergy, like
last week, I noticed the congregation had many questions about what I meant by idle hands. Just to clarify, I didn't just mean masturbation or having a wank,
but that is clear. It is included.
But it does fall under that category. Yeah. Other things idle hands might do that are inspired by the devil include graffiti, poking a friend in the eye, or drinking.
Right. Yeah. Any liquid.
Or all of those things at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is great. You'd be a great priest. Just
thank
saying.
You. Yeah. Thank you. And yay, he did descend from the hill.
Just because you like saying and yay a lot.
With two oven gloves, both stamped with the insignia of our Lord. And from the oven of peace, he did withdraw the baking tray of love, and everyone feasted on the brownies. See, I can do it.
You're just making that up as you go, aren't you?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Should I just do a fake sermon?
We sure, holy shit, man. People would eat it up.
And thy, the brownie is now the divine baked good. And every seventh Sunday, thy shall eat thy brownie.
Keep going. This is gold.
And those who forsaketh the brownie and dust it with light sugar or mix it with other desserts such as banoffee pie brownies shall be cast into the fiery pits of hell, for the devil shall then rise up and segment them several times while still conscious. Amen. At 2 p.m. this afternoon, the choir is going to practice if anybody wants to join them. Does that sound like church?
That was great, man.
Thank you. Anyway, back to asbestos. Should put organ music into that.
Yeah, you totally should. Honest to God, you should.
So the leader of the strike was Jean Marchand.
Who?
Jean Marchand.
Marchand?
Marchand. Jean Marchand.
Okay, I don't.
I'll say it so many times.
Just keep saying it. Don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. So the strike was considered illegal. So the premier at the time, Maurice Duplessis, was sided with the companies. And he hated socialism, and he saw striking miners who wanted to have working lungs as socialism.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep. Socialism!
Much like wearing a mask is socialism these days.
Of course.
Very similar, actually.
Oh, very similar.
It's all about, it's all about breathing. People who want to protect how they breathe are socialists.
I mean, it's practically communism, really, if you exactly. think about it. Wearing a mask is communism.
It's why Stalin's mustache was actually there to strain the
I
air.
Have a thing where people aren't picking up on my sarcasm these days, so I feel like I have to say that was sarcastic. It's a really weird phenomenon. People, I'm like a...
incoming sarcasm.
Yeah, right, like...
Exactly. Anyway.
Eyebrows.
So the province sent squads of police to protect the mines. I bet the police had masks. They probably cleaned the dust up for the police. So parts of the Catholic Church went in to support the miners.
Okay.
Which is interesting. It's very anti-establishment for the church.
Jesus? Like,
no, I think the thing is, when you go on strike, you don't get paid. So you need people to bring you food and things to keep you going.
Aww,
so I imagine maybe they used
you don't know what they did.
Maybe they did.
You're making them sound really nice.
Yeah, nobody was forsaking brownies, so they thought they'd help them.
They could have come in with super soakers full of piss. You don't know. You have no idea.
It says they supported them. So I'm guessing they did nice things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Let's make the assumption.
Okay.
I don't have any hard evidence in front of me.
Right.
But
either
I'm assume that
either
support
way. So
means
like you're going
nice.
One way, I'm going the other way.
Okay, that's fine.
Supported their very dry clothes by soaking them with pee.
They don't smell. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But the population and the media in Quebec were also on the side of the miners.
Of course.
So you had the premier and the
I suppose not, of course. I don't know what it would have been. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So at the time, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, a.k.a. The Justin Daddy.
The Justin Daddy.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
He was a journalist at the time.
No, fuck.
He was still a young man. And he was there covering the miners in a sympathetic manner.
Wow, cool.
So six weeks into the strike, obviously, imagine you haven't been paid for 6 weeks.
Right.
And you've been living in asbestos with no money.
It's not living in a giant pile of asbestos. Right, okay.
Relying on the handouts of super soakers full of piss from the Catholic Church. Or something.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I know I said it, but just hearing it come out of your mouth makes it funnier. I don't know how you do that.
It's the accent.
It is the accent, yeah.
So they hired strike breakers to keep the mine open. So the community was really split because some people crossed the picket line for money and started working in
scabs.
The mines. Scabs. Yeah. So it turned violent.
Oh, God.
And 5,000 strikers attacked, destroying the property of some of the scabs and intimidating them. And the police were sent in as strike breakers. And they fought the police in like pitched battles on the picket line. Hundreds of miners were arrested.
How do you feel about scabs?
How do I feel about I think it's hard because often it's pitting people who are striking for the right reason, and then they offer in these jobs up that maybe weren't available at a good rate to people who are just desperate for jobs.
Right.
So I think it's very easy.
I think it's pitting the wrong people against each other.
It is yeah. Exactly. It's kind of people who need jobs pitched against people who need jobs.
Right.
Meanwhile, people are making money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, hey, it's like any war. You just go, it's just poor people killing poor people, typically.
Right. That was four richer
world,
people.
World War One. Two cousins fell out, and then they had a war.
Is that true?
Well, yeah. The German emperor was the cousin of the king of Britain at the time.
Oh wow!
They grew up like playing board games together, and then
one of them beat the other.
And like the Tsar was the cousin as well. They were all related.
Fuck, you really know your history. Or you looked this up 10 minutes ago.
No, I just remembered it because it's messed up. Once you realize all the royal families were cousins of each other, and then millions of people died fighting each other. It was just a game to them.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. What happened then? A dynamite explosion destroyed part of the railway track.
And
strikers...
Was that accidental or...
No, I think it was on purpose.
Jesus.
And then strikers overturned a Jeep and injuring a passenger.
So should have led with that one. Come downhill in excitement here.
Yeah, yeah.
Blew up a railway track and then they flipped a Jeep and then they kicked a dog.
So what happened then? The Archbishop at the time delivered a fiercely pro-union speech asking all Catholics to donate to the strike. Because the Catholic Church was supporting them. So the Premier, Duplessis, then transferred the Archbishop to Vancouver to get him out of the way because he was supporting it.
Because what?
He transferred him to Vancouver. So they moved the Archbishop because he was on the side of the strikers.
Who moved him?
Sorry. The Premier. He spoke to the big guy in the Vatican.
And so the Premier was on the side of the corporations, of course.
Yeah.
Of course
he was like, hey, you got to, can you just send him to Vancouver?
That's amazing.
And then he was like pulled out of his,
wow.
You know. It's not very often you talk about the Catholic Church historically.
I didn't know they had that power to do that, though. Like, I thought church and state were kind of separate for a reason. It's not state, province. You know what I mean? The concept of church and state.
Yeah, but come on. But no, I was just saying, though, it's not very often you talk about like churches and Catholicism in a positive light on shows like this.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's true. That sounds like a very nice thing for him to do.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but there were a lot of miners around.
Oh! Zing.
Oh, Reese. Oh, that was bad and very good.
I'm here all week.
Make sure to tip your waitress.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was bad. Like, that was really good, too. Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
So on May the 5th, the strikers launched a big push by barricading the mine and every road in and out of town. They basically are like, let's escalate this. And the police failed repeatedly to break through the barricades.
Okay.
But the strikers backed down because the police said they were going to open fire on them as a last resort.
Of course.
That's what they do. This strike is effective. We're going to shoot you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you're getting your point of cost too effectively.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Honestly, God.
So the Riot Act was read, which
it just goes to the point of, I won't go into this huge tangent, but the whole deregulation of the police and why it makes sense, because, you know, for the longest time and up to right now, they are, and this isn't necessarily a negative thing. This is just what it is. They are bullies with guns. And sometimes a situation requires a bully with a gun, right? Sometimes you have something escalating to the point where, like, I need someone strong and mean and crass and forceful with a gun and training to come in and take care of this. And that's fine when that's needed.
Yeah, if someone's good at kill people.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. But that's not always needed. And throwing bullies with guns at every single situation.
Well, it's like they're a hammer, and for a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Exactly.
So they were read the Riot Act. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Riot Act, but it was introduced in 1714 by
I've heard the term. I didn't really look into it.
It was the Parliament of Great Britain, which authorized authorities to declare any group of 12 or more people to be unlawfully assembled to disperse or face punitive action. Basically, it means you can't protest anymore. You can't strike anymore.
Oh, wow.
So they started to arrest all of the strikers.
Jesus. So they made this law up in order to start arresting the strikers?
The law was originally created in 1714, Canada was using it to... This is a really old law.
A really old law that they dug up that they haven't been using for
good
a long
news,
time.
Good news, we can arrest them all.
Right.
Turns out it's not free. Whatever. So they started to arrest the strikers, and they started to raid the church that was there that had been supporting them. Because everybody loves seeing the police raid churches. It's always good, great optics for your cause, and the arrest of strikers were also beaten, and including the leaders were also beaten.
Unbelievable, amazing. All in the name of capitalism. It's all about making profits at any cost, and this is continued to this day. This is anyway. That's a different tangent altogether. But like, capitalism is destroying fucking everything. Can it work? Yes. Has it worked? Yes. Is it working? No.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at have you heard of the Great Resignation?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I was just talking about that the other day with a friend. Yeah.
So there is an IHOP that is opening in the city here. And they've gone, we're opening soon, recruiting now. 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 Is kind of, no one wants those. A lot of the people who worked in the service industry during lockdown retrained and found jobs that suit their lifestyles better. And they're not increasing the wages for those kind of jobs. People are going, I don't want to work in a restaurant anymore because the hours are unpredictable. They're long. You get shouted at, customers.
I'm on Reddit on the subreddit Anti-Work.
Yes, me too.
Are you too? It's amazing, isn't it? The shit that comes through there. I was reading once about this guy who almost got fired because he didn't stand at attention when his boss came in. The owner of the company required him to stand at attention and greet him as he walked by, and he didn't do that. And he got reprimanded for 3 days straight because of this. Like, this is
an online movement I can get behind. It's just like, treat people well, pay them well for the work they do, so they can afford to live. Because I think the disparity between pay and living costs, I think if I was like 19, 20 going into the workforce and was like, well, I can pay this, but I can never afford to leave home, or you know, all these jobs are available to me and they don't pay. I can barely afford to do anything with the money they pay me. I would just go, do you know what? I'm just going to go live in a tent and live. I'll do something. I'm going to be like, I'm just going to go and just wander around, hitchhike for a while.
Sure.
My working would be so far down my list of things to do. I'd probably just go, the system's never going to work for me. I'm going to just do something else.
It's so broken. And employers are finally starting to realize that, like, they need us more than we need them right now. You know, and it's great. It's one. I was talking to my friend Alan just the other day, and he was saying how, like, something like either 2 million or 4 million Americans quit their jobs last month.
Yeah.
Which is, I thought it was like the past year. Like, no, the past month.
But I mean, but the amazing thing of that is that because the people have been forced into being a generation who can't afford to leave home, they don't have to work because they've been forced to just be stuck at home.
Right.
So if they don't, if just their parents and their grandparents are the ones who own homes and can afford to actually, because they got on the ladder early, they go, well, what am I doing? Why am I trying to play this race? Why am I being part of this race?
The whole rent thing, too, is insane. If you think about it, like, rent is so high, it's forcing people to get out there and work just to pay this ridiculously high rent. And if you remove the rent, like you said, if kids are just staying at home longer, right? Or if retire somewhere else and leave a family home to their kids. These are obviously, like, wealthier people in society to be able to do this. But, like, if you remove the whole rent aspect, okay, there's other reasons why people used to work.
Yeah.
They liked the camaraderie, okay? They liked feeling busy. But, like, in a purposeful way, like, I get to create something for other people are enjoying.
Oh, there was progression. If I stick at this for 15 years,
exactly,
I'll be an expert in this.
You know, and all of this is, and not only that, but back in the 1950s, you could get a job straight out of high school. If you finished high school, you could get a job that allowed you to get a house.
Yeah.
And start a family.
Well, you could
without university. And now I was just listening to a Joe Rogan podcast about this. He had an expert talking about this. And I think it was actually Bernie Sanders. And they were talking about how, like, and back then, if you wanted to go to university, right, university was so cheap, it was practically free. And you could choose to do so if you just wanted a better life, because you would automatically make more money. And today, people are going to university, they're getting $300,000 or more in debt, and it means nothing in the workforce.
Yeah,
nothing. It's kind of abso-fucking-lutely ridiculous. And anyway, we're going down a long rabbit hole.
Should we go back to the town known as Asbestos?
Yes. Yeah, yes, okay, let's do that. Yeah.
So after they arrested and beat the shit out of everyone, the union decided they should probably compromise. So they began to negotiate, and the Archbishop Maurice Roy of Quebec City served as a mediator. So again, the Catholic Church got involved.
Just to interject with what is currently happening with the Great Resignation and what happened back then with the asbestos strike, what if you combine the two? Okay. What if, you know, they sent the police in, okay, they created this huge violent mess just to get rid of the strikers, and they succeeded. Fuck yes, we got rid of the strikers. Okay, open the mine up. And no one came to work.
But the thing is, they'd always have people who would want to go to work.
No, but I'm saying, if you combine that scenario with the Great Resignation, where they couldn't get workers, they went through all this fucking trouble just to open
the mine.
And
everyone would have retrained during the strike.
Right, yeah.
I took an online course. It was just a ruse. We're going on strike. And I've got a subscription to lynda.com.
Back then it was called betty.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the asbestos strike started, I couldn't code, but I can code now. So what happened was the dispute ended. They received a small pay increase, but many of them never got their jobs back, and they replaced them.
And they what?
They just replaced them.
So you got fired for being on strike, which I believe is very illegal today. If you went on strike and you were successful in some way with the strike and then went back to work and then were fired for having been on strike, just being on, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I don't know, but I'm taking a wild stab in the dark that is illegal. Okay, so, yep, you got it. Everything you want in that strike. Yes, we'll give it to you. Go back to work. You're fired.
This was like the late 40s. So,
yeah.
But then what happened was, the interesting thing about this is that it kind of, Trudeau, the Justin Daddy, who was the journalist who covered it. It pushed him up to real prominence in Quebec and in the political scene. So
do you think this helped him get elected? Eventually.
Yeah, so
set him on the path.
So you had a journalist called Gerard Pelletier. And
that actually sounded French. Thank you very much. I'm not reading it in front of me, but it sounded French. I think you're getting better at this
Jean,
shit.
Jean Marchand and Pierre Elliott Trudeau, they became known as the wise three men, and all three of them got quite far in politics.
They got known as the three wise men.
Yes.
Are you fucking serious?
No, that's what they were known as. Or les trois colombes. I'm sorry, French speakers.
My favorite part about you trying to speak French is you always end in an uptick, as in you're like, it's a question mark every time.
Did I get it right?
I don't know.
No, that's what
you're asking. Yeah,
Colombe? Yeah. It's like, Trudeau edited a book called The Asbestos Strike, and it presented it as kind of a, saying that a violent announcement of a new era had begun in Quebec, and that it was while the strikers were looking for better conditions, it kind of the change in society became kind of a byproduct. So I think people were more willing to it kind of made people want to take a stand a little bit more, fired people up to be more involved and to take kind of decisive action.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because Quebec is, people in Quebec, they're quite passionate and they will protest. And, there's been some obviously very strong movements in Quebec as well politically, and people willing to do quite radical things. So it was saying that this was the first instance of that, and that it kind of began that. So that little town called Asbestos actually was the starting point of a different kind of atmosphere politically in Quebec for a long time.
Wow. Oh, that's very cool.
Say I tied it back to something relevant.
There you go.
Here we go. So if you live in Asbestos, send us an email. Or don't send us Asbestos.
Well, I mean, Asbestos is now known as what was it called again? The town.
Oh, the town, sorry.
Yep, they changed the name of the product of asbestos to death dust. Thank you, Reese.
That's Val de Source or Valley of the Springs.
All right, so if you live there.
It looks beautiful.
Send us an email.
It looks like photos. It looks like a nice
your
place.
Asbestos.
Yeah, have you got? Send us a handful.
No, don't.
It does look beautiful. There is a giant hole.
See.
There's a giant hole in the ground.
Turn your laptop. Let me see. Now, what the fuck is that?
I think that's an open cast mine.
A what?
An open cast mine.
What is an open cast mine?
So you know the mines in Cape Breton?
Yeah. Well, not. Well,
not personally.
Yeah.
The mines in Cape Breton, they would have been like a lot of the mines in Wales at the time where they dug holes underground. Mine shafts where you go underground. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you go in diagonally. That looks like it goes straight down.
So you dig a tunnel underground and then you work the coal seam.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't, open cast mining is the more modern way where you just dig a big fucking hole so that you don't have to go down a tunnel anymore and you just can just dig it out with big excavators.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense.
I've been to an open cast mine. It looks like...
that makes
Terminator 2, the scenes from the future?
Yeah.
Lots of big machinery.
Lots of skulls.
Exactly. Loads
skulls
of skulls.
And Terminators, yeah.
And laser beams.
Right.
Just shooting over your head.
This is modern day mines.
This is modern open cast mining! It's heavily mechanized.
So, lots of time travel.
Exactly. Yeah. So... just a kid whose dad is from the future and is also his friend when he's old. It's very confusing. So they just dig a giant hole and then they just go, there you are. And often what happens is that people then just leave and then like all of the landscape has changed and it's just a big hole.
That's not surprising at all. They don't fill it back in, nothing. Just a big hole.
I've been to an open cast mine that was moving, and as they moved across, this big hole was kind of like a long gouge out of a hillside.
Right.
And they would dig, and then they would fill up and then plant grass as they were going backwards.
Well, at least they filled it back up and planted grass and shit. Like, it sounds like these guys just...
It's still just a
giant, fucking hole.
I mean, maybe they've done something fun in that hole, if you know what I mean. I'm not being dirty. So maybe you can go water skiing in the big asbestos hole. I don't know. Why are you laughing? Actually, I quite like
the whole, can't say something like maybe they did something fun in that hole, if you know what I mean.
I found a picture.
Come across dirty as fuck.
I found a picture of the hole. It actually looks quite appealing.
Well, they filled it with water. It's a giant lake.
I don't think they filled it with water. I think the rain filled it with water.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, like I'm saying, you know, maybe you can go scuba diving in there, or maybe it's horribly poisonous.
Full of asbestos.
And all who go in there die. I don't know, but if you do know, let us know. It looks like there's a park with like machinery and stuff there as well you can climb on. That's good.
Not playground equipment, machinery that you can climb.
You can climb on.
Machinery Park. It's my favorite park to play.
We should go to asbestos.
Why? Let's stay away from death dust.
Ah.
I mean, okay, if we're invited.
Yeah.
To a nice like Airbnb or
just
something.
Just go there and like rub your finger on a rock and then rub it on your gums and go, it's bloody good asbestos.
I don't think that's how that works.
It's really pure. Pure asbestos.
Cut a bag open with a knife of asbestos, put a little bit of the asbestos on the tip of the knife.
Exactly, yeah.
Put it on your gums, yeah, snort it. Exactly. That's some damn good asbestos.
Go on, nothing's catching fire in you.
So.
Anyway.
Except for my brain.
Exactly. Yeah, don't snort, ingest, or rub asbestos on any part of your body.
Is that the call to action?
That's the call to action.
For today?
For today.
Don't rub asbestos on any part of your body.
Yeah.
So, like, you are quite concerned that we have listeners who are, at the time of listening to this podcast, about to rub asbestos. And, like, they've got a handful of asbestos, and they're just in a naked body standing, listening to us with headphones on. And, like, they're just waiting for the podcast to be over before they, like, smash this handful of asbestos right in their face. And you telling them not to is the one piece of leading wisdom that they need to put it down.
Yeah, so don't go looking for an asbestos dealer on the street corner. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this has been fun. We should end this episode as long. So if you ever wondered what asbestos had to do with the rise of the Trudeau family, there you go.
I
bet you were asking that yourself when you woke up this morning.
It's the very first thing.
Why? What is this?
That's typically what I do. I wake up and I start screaming, Trudeau!
We all do it.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting that these historical moments, that like how different might the life of the Justin Daddy been if he hadn't been at that strike cover.
The Justin Daddy.
It's so weird. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I love it though.
I don't know. Just keep going with it. That's great. So that was really fun. Dear listener, thank you for listening, and please look forward to the upcoming Wafuckak Festival.
Yeah, we've got one more regular episode before Wafuckak kicks in.
Right, and then we'll have our Patreon and our Apple subscription ready for you to go, and we hope you join us.
I hope you like the trailer. Oh, also as well.
Yes.
I do want to do a quick plug.
You know what? I'm going to put up some Wafuckak is coming ringtones on the website.
You should.
How's that?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Do it.
Go get your ringtone and voicemail messages there, people. Just go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com and click on the ringtones. And there you go. Or voicemail message, whichever. It's probably both or one or the other. What are you doing, Reese?
So I have a plug. So somebody reached out.
We're giving away free advertising.
Yeah. somebody has created a line of t-shirts. They're on Instagram as Just Us Haze, and they've got a website called Why the Algarve.
What?
And
what is it called?
Why the Algarve. So it's
I don't know what you're saying.
WHYTHEALGARVE. The Algarve is in Portugal, I believe. And they've got a line of t-shirts called The War on Christmas.
Okay.
Which is very... I like the... I'm going to get some Christmas t-shirts from there. So whytheAlgarve.com. They've got All I Want for Christmas is the Means of Production with Karl Marx.
That's great.
They've got Christmas is a False Flag Operation. They got, which is Santa pointing a gun at you, and it says Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Oh, can I have that? Can you guys send that to me? Can we get some free t-shirts from these guys?
Santa holding a crying
child. First I've heard of this. give us a t-shirt, man.
Santa holding a crying child, and it says memories that last a lifetime. Uh, And then another one was Santa with a gun. It says, just put the cookies on the table and just walk away.
Oh, that's good.
So anyway, I just wanted to plug them because they...
We'll leave if they have
promote our show online, so I wanted to say thank you. Yeah.
Oh.
So whytheAlgarve.com.
And if you can, if Reese remembers this when he's editing the show, put a link in our show notes wherever you listen. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever, there should be, if you just scroll down, there should be a little link. You can just click on it. How about that? If you
remember Sounds really good. Sounds really good.
You're going to remember to do that? You did last time.
It was good. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't know. See what mood I'm in. So, yeah. So anyway,
So there's your two call to actions. One, don't smash your face with asbestos.
Ingest or rub asbestos.
Right. And secondly, go to why the Algarve.com. Okay.
To get some War on Christmas t-shirts.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. Thanks so much, listener, for sticking us in your ear hole all snug in there just the way you like it. This has been fun, as always. Learning random shit about much shit that you've picked up on the dark web, Reese. Fuck the shit that you find.
I don't go on the dark web. I wouldn't even know where the dark web was. So
darkweb.com.
Really?
No.
It's pretty obvious. I thought it was supposed to be a bit more mysterious than that. At least want some breadcrumbs to lead me in a...
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Darkweb.com just leaves you straight to the FBI.
It's like... Yeah, just... I went on the dark web once and I saw a website and they were selling guns. Well, you're cool. There we go.
I picture these are those conversations you have with yourself in the mirror first thing every morning.
The dark web is very much like the internet, but it's very dark.
Honey, come back to bed. Stop talking about the dark web in the mirror.
Don't confuse the dark web with dark mode. Because that just makes you...
That just makes your browser dark.
Holy shit, am I in the dark web? No, it's just reducing eye strain. It's fine. Anyway... We should probably go.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.